Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
What's up, everyone? Steven Jensen here, Fightful.com. I am joined by SP3, Sid Poulard III, my boy, my Mighty Ducks brethren. Yes, I'm so happy to be doing this show today with SP3. We have a run-in guest that's going to be popping in any second, and we might have a couple other guests joining us as well, but we are here today to review GCW Fight Club, a.k.a. Mox versus Gage. For those of you who listen to the Fightful Select Weekender podcast, I'll be recording that tomorrow instead of today because we are doing this show here today for you for free. But I normally review GCW over there. So if you like this, you like what we do at Fightful, and you want more independent wrestling stuff, subscribe to Fightful Select. It's the most direct way to support us. And you also get a lot of great independent wrestling stuff from the various podcasts, especially my Weekender pod. Before we get into anything, though, today, SP3, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing great. I'm very happy to be back on the Fightful Wrestling YouTube channel, and most especially with my Charlie Conway to my Russ Tyler. We are the Mighty Ducks version of Salt and Peppa. We are here to talk about some independent wrestling and a show that made me very happy. Like, I put out the tweet after the show, like, this company, and I only put this tweet out usually with AEW, but it's glad that we have an independent wrestling promotion that makes you really feel like you love professional wrestling, and GCW did that last night.
Dude, I couldn't agree more. Make sure, as always, drop a thumbs up if you like this video. We're going to be talking the matches. There was a lot of big announcements. There were some debuts. I mean, there's a lot of stuff. We're going to try to do this within an hour, hour and a half, give or take. So let us know what you thought about the show. Drop your questions, your statements. Super chats are very welcome here. We will put the whatever you got to say up on the screen so everyone can see it, and we'll also read it out. So if you have any questions you want us to answer, you got any thoughts about the show, any thoughts about the results, the debuts, anything you want your voice heard, super chats, we'll make sure to address those for you today on the show as well. Coming into this one, SP3, would you say this was like, I honestly, because I feel like this probably had more buzz going into it than any indie show, like probably ever. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I said it on the True Hill Heat weekly podcast yesterday. I was like, this had the biggest independent wrestling match of the year in the main event with Moxley and Nick Gage. And I felt like it was a big match already because I've been following kind of the buildup since Moxley, reappeared in GCW at Spring Break over WrestleMania weekend. And I've been looking forward to this match ever since then. But the video package, the countdown to really gave me the vibes where I was watching that and I sent it to a lot of my friends, like the, you know, Do the True Hill Heat YouTube channel with me, Alex McCarthy, guys like that. I was just like, yo, if you haven't seen this, you need to see this because this is how you build up a big time matchup. Like, I want more companies. AEW does a pretty good job. You know, WWE has the great production value with their video package, but this felt like a UFC type of main event with the way they promoted it. You know, Mick Foley being involved on it made it give it like a dark side of the ring view. And then it reminded you of all the things that Moxley said during the Nick Gage episode of Dark Side of the Ring. So there was even further buildup that it's not just on GCW. You have the buildup from Dark Side of the Ring. Maybe they didn't really cross paths in AEW, but this is a whole like 6 month culmination, but really a decade since these guys went at it in CZW. So that right there really gave me the vibe that this was the biggest independent wrestling event of the year.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, man. And like, speaking to like the build up and the production and everything, I'll also say, as somebody who watches every GCW event, this was probably the best production they've put on, like on Fight TV as well. Like, as far as like the quality of the stream, yeah. like it would look like high def, and like it wasn't dropping in and out, and the audio was balanced. That's a big complaint. That's like really the only complaint sometimes for GCW, is like the commentary is too loud. You can't hear the fans. You can't hear MLJ on the mic. Like, and this was the best job all around that I've seen GCW do from a production standpoint, as well as video packages and promos. Like, I feel like they really, really stepped up their game because they knew the world was watching. Yeah. I say it about Impact Wrestling whenever we do our post shows for their big pay-per-views. Certain companies, like, when you know the eyes are on you, like, you gotta deliver, because like that's like your real chance. I bet you there were a lot of people who watched that show last night. It was probably the first time they've seen GCW, and they were taking a chance. I had people DMing me yesterday going, hey man, this is the first time I'm ordering GCW. Like, what should I actually expect from this? And I was like, you're gonna get a mix of like high flying wrestling, technical wrestling, veterans, young stars. There's going to be some real violent stuff, a lot of blood in some of the matches. Like, it's going to be a real mixed bag. I always tell people, viewer discretion advised. Like, just go into it knowing that you could see a whole lot of stuff you might not expect to see, but it's a real variety show. And that's what I think really is so much of the appeal of GCW, is like, it isn't just high flying. It isn't just techno wrestling. It isn't just ultraviolet death matches. It's a mixture of everything. So I couldn't agree with you more. We got our first super chat here. Kevin Steets says, rewatched the Hammerstein vid this morning and one name popped in my head, Sean Waltman. Well, that'd be pretty sick. I mean, yeah, Sean Waltman, definitely a guy who the current generation of wrestlers really respect, especially from like an in-ring standpoint. You see a lot of, Jordan Oliver uses that like spinning, that spin kick in the corner, like X-Pac and stuff. I mean, a lot of influence there. And I remember X-Pac doing Chikara. Was it Chikara like years ago?
Yeah.
I'd like to see Sean Waltman. Any other thought? We'll talk about the video here, you know, in a little bit. I will say, I mean, I totally teared up while watching it. I was like, this is beautiful. I can't believe this. It was so raw and so real. So, let's talk about the show itself. We started off the night with what was supposed to be a one-on-one match between Ninja Mac and Alex Zane. Alex Zane, of course, with the former Ari Sterling, who was in 205 Live, a very short run with the WWE, but the silver lining being that he is fantastic, and he's been on the indies, since leaving, and he's like number one contender in Ring of Honor. He's popped up in Impact, GCW, really all over the place. You got Ninja Mac, who's like the next breed of high flyer, very innovative, does stuff that I've really never seen before. Like, I mean, I've gotten used to seeing some of it at this point, but like, it's always impressive to watch the stuff he does. And then you get the addition, the surprise addition of Lio Rush, who is a guy who I feel like guys like Ninja Mac and Alex Zane probably look at and go like, oh yeah, this guy, like, they probably pulled some tricks from him because he's so innovative. So SP3, man, how did you feel about this match? Give me some of your thoughts, maybe some of your favorite spots, and then we'll kind of talk about the finish and where it goes from here.
I really like Ninja Mac. I discovered him a couple of GCW shows ago, and really the match that really stood out to me in recent memory was the Art of War Games, that multi-man ladder match where he did probably one of the more insane versions of the Sunset Flip Powerbomb there. In this match, this is this three guys who are just very skilled high flyers. Ari Sterling, aka, you know, now Alex Zane once again. I'm glad that he's able to showcase his ability again, because this is a guy that, you know, unless you watch 205 Live, you probably don't even remember that he was in WWE, because he had really one match with Cameron Grimes where it was more about highlighting Grimes. He had a good like dive to the outside, but outside of that, they really didn't highlight all that he can do. And he's a guy I really first saw in Warrior Wrestling in a cool like six-man tag against the Rascals. So from there to see him go to WWE and now see him now, it's just like, who, like, he needs the chains off. This is the type of guy that needs that chains off to really stand out. And it's the same thing with Lio Rush, even though he got to show a little bit of his skills, you know, during his NXT Cruiserweight title run. To see him back in independent wrestling, back without the chains off, that was great. And the highlight of the match was really the sequence between Lio Rush and Ninja Mac, where Ninja Mac looked like he was going for the dive, and then he did like the springboard into the Superman pose, and then they start going, running the ropes, and then he does multiple flips, kicks Alex Zane, and then pops right back to the same spot he started the sequence with Lio Rush. I was just like, oh, this is awesome. This is a great way to start the show. I felt like the finishing sequence, it looked a little bit off, but it kind of made sense because, you know, too much in these multi-man matches, the save comes at like the perfect time and it looks kind of planned. I like the fact that Lio Rush waited too long and he missed out on breaking up the pin at the end to give Alex Zane the victory. And that shooting star press, like knees to the back, just a great finisher. And that's something that I did see, you know, back when he was in Warrior Wrestling, Alex Zane. So it's great to see that back from him.
Yeah, dude, I couldn't agree more, man. Like, those spots were sick. Alex Zane having the chains off, Lio Rush as well. It's great to see. Alex Zane is a guy who, like, he's deceivingly large, like, in comparison to what I think people, how big people think he is, like, because of his style of wrestling. That was one thing where I was surprised with his WWE run, like, with it being as short as it was, where I was like, man, like, he's got the size where, like, he's so different in the ring from most people, and he still has the size. Like, I felt like he would have actually been a really good fit there if given, you know, the right circumstances. But like we've been saying, so many of these wrestlers are rebounding. I mean, not just rebounding on the indies, like, they're thriving beyond what they were even doing on, you know, mainstream television. So, like, I agree with the finish. Your thoughts on the finish as well, man. Like, it seemed a little strange, but, like, there was an element of realisticness to the idea that Lio just didn't, because he climbed the rope so slowly that it was like, you know, he was basically selling on the top rope still and trying to make it to break the pinfall. The only downside to doing something like that, and it's not even like GCW's fault or the wrestler's fault or anything, it's the fans, I think, perceived it as like a botch, or like the finish wasn't what they were going for. So the fans seemed like they were a little out of it. But when you look at it from the outside looking in, kind of like from a realistic standpoint, I totally agree. Like, that was a really good opening match. And that's what GCW is really known for, too. Like, they'll open a show with either a match like that or a scramble, and just action-packed matches, get you really ready for the show. That led into Chris Dickinson and Starboy Charlie taking on Joey Janela and Marco Stunt. Dickinson and Charlie, you know, now a team after feuding for a while in GCW, they had some really good one-on-one matches. And over time, Starboy has earned the respect of Dickinson. Dickinson and Joey Janela, a tag team in their own right in GCW. And, you know, of course you have Marco Stunt, who most people know at this point from AEW, as well as Joey Janela. But it's always cool because I know, and I get it, I know there's a lot of people who don't like Marco Stunt. I get it. Like, I get that he's short. I get all that stuff. But if you watch this match, tell me this guy can't work. You know what I mean? Like, he can definitely go in the ring. It's just his height is going to just give you this perception of him. But I feel like he's able to overcome that with his talent when he's given the opportunities and it's done right. There was a point in this match, though, where, like, he looked like he might have got his bell rung. He was having that big comeback. And he was really, like, he was really fired up. Jumps off the top rope. hits that missile dropkick, but like kind of landed on the back of his head and just laid in the middle of the ring. Now, what I'll say is this. I always get scared when somebody's not moving and then someone else grabs them by the head and then and moves them.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what they did for Marco. I'm hoping Marco was laying there going like, I'm not actually hurt. Like, just get me out of the ring. But I will say that, like, just food for thought for anybody who sees somebody with like a neck injury or something like that. Don't grab them by the head and like move them out of the way, because that could really mess things up. That said, Marco finished the match and everything seems to be fine, but I was a little worried there. How did you feel about this match, SP3? Some of your favorite thoughts and the finish?
I like this match a lot, and I don't really, you know, you see the multi-man matches in GCW, you see great singles matches, great dream matches, you know, the hardcore death match stuff, but you don't really see like really genuine like tag team matches in that in this manner, which don't have like the death match like element to it,
like, or even hardcore, like usually
because you know you got SGC who are the champions and their matches always feature some type of like plunder, as they say, and yes. You know, so it's kind of different this type of matchup, and I like the story that went into it, because I've kind of seen over the last couple of shows, especially like the last Atlantic City show, the friendship and the partnership between Joey Janela and Marco Stunt dealing with 44.0. And then you got over on the other side, you know, I've seen the match where Starboy Charlie finally defeated Dickinson in LA. So I kind of have that kind of going into it. So that was a nice little to know actually the story of the two teams was good going into it. And I felt like they worked really well with each other. I do agree the Marco Stunt comeback was great, and then for him to like be in the ring and he was like not moving, I was kind of scared there, and you can kind of see there was like a lot of talking between the referee and Marco to make sure he was okay, and then Joey just pulling him by the hair, I was just like, no, please don't do that, like that's not what you're supposed to do, like you could have just pulled him by the legs. I know that's not even good either, but something other than the head I was hoping. But I think they kind of rebounded from that and really like finished the match very well. And I liked the little promo afterwards by Joey Janela, you know, acknowledging the history between Dickinson and Janela, because that's what you need. Because for someone like me, like I really got into GCW really like last year during the Gathering, because I was really into the For the Culture show that AJ Gray put together. And I really was like invested in that. I love that. That's probably one of my favorite shows of last year. And that made me get into GCW a little bit more and watch the Fight TV stuff. So, you know, to not have that much, you know, history watching and following GCW, it's nice to have guys that you know from other places, like in this match with the guys from AEW and Dickinson from ROH. And then you get to appreciate someone like Starboy Charlie, who you don't know that well, but I've really gotten to know him over the last couple of shows, and I'm really impressed by him. I totally agree with what Joey Janela said. He's a stud, and I like the partnership there with Eye for Eye.
Yeah, for sure. And the thing with Starboy is like, he's legit like 17 or he's 18 years old now.
Yeah.
So like, and he's been wrestling for a handful of years already. He's like, that's one thing GCW does. It seems risky, but it keeps paying off. Like they'll put a lot of investment into really young talent, like Nick Wayne, Billy Stark, Starboy Charlie, like literal teenagers. I mean, Marcus Mathers has got to be young. I mean, I know he's young. He's probably right around those ages. I mean, he dates Billy Stark. So, I mean, he's probably like 17 also. So like, I mean, the Starboy Charlie, they have serious, serious plans for long-term, it feels like. And him and Dickinson as a team has been really cool. It's cool to mention too with For the Culture, because those shows have been so good, those For the Culture shows.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to shout that out real quick, because that's just a perfect example of like why representation is so important in wrestling. Like you watched For the Culture and then discovered GCW because of For the Culture, basically, or started getting invested in GCW after watching For the Culture. That's huge.
Because I went to a show, I think it was in 2019, where the main event I remember vividly, I don't know if you remember, in Brooklyn. It was in Brooklyn in New York, and the main event was Nick Gage versus Low Life Louie. And Nick Gage cut him open with the pizza cutter, and the New York Athletic Commission shut the show down, basically. They were able to finish it, you know, with someone else coming out and finishing up the match. But Low Life Louie was cut open. He had to go all the way to the back. So I was kind of like taken aback a little bit by that. Like, I know Nick Gage. I've known of him for a few years now from his time in CZW. But that right there was just like, I don't know if I can get invested in something that was just like, I'm not going to be able to see it that often in New York, because New York is that like very strict with the stuff. But I love how they've really, you know, from the Gathering on, they've really regrouped and they gotten so much momentum. I actually did an article on Sports Keto Wrestling about why GCW is the hottest promotion. And you've been naming a lot of the stuff that I put in the article, that they have a great mix of guys you know from other shows like AEW, ROH. It's really like a forbidden door of sorts where guys you wouldn't see match up with each other in other places are matching up here. And they also have the young stars who are on the rise, like Starboy Charlie, Ninja Mac, and you get to, you know, create an investment with those guys. So that's why I've really been getting into it. But definitely Fold the Culture was where I was just like, no, I gotta really get into this, because I love AJ Gray from there. He has the best lariat in the game. Like, I wish he was in a singles match in this match, because I love his singles matches and I feel he stands out more. But we'll get into that with his match later on in the show. But yeah, that was like the genesis of me really like following GCW.
Well, and like you mentioned, the only negative I can feel like with AJ Gray being in the tag match, the only one, is that you don't get to hear Waka Flocka, like, because that's such a good entrance.
That's the best entrance.
Yeah. So I know, I feel you, man, for sure. Especially me being an Atlanta guy. Like, I mean, Waka Flocka, he's like still big here. But man, I've seen rumblings. Like, I would love if they could work something out for one of these big shows where he does that entrance live. That'd be so sick. But that said, this match, Great tag team stuff. Finish the match with Starboy Charlie hitting a brain buster, Dickinson getting the cover for the pin. Like you mentioned, we had Joe Janela really putting over Starboy, alluding to the history between himself and Dickinson. And it's cool because basically the story is like, Dickinson basically took Janela under his wing, and Janela ended up, I can't remember the exact terms he used, but he basically said, like, I'm kind of like a low life. Like, I'm like a degenerate, basically, after being with you for so long. Don't do this to Starboy. Like, Starboy, I think he called him like prime Wagyu beef or something like
that.
Yes. So he's like, you have like this pure kid that you can mold into like something great. Do it the right way this time, and it looks like that's what you're doing. And he like gave him his blessing to like continue to groom Starboy Charlie into a star. So, yeah. So it was a good match, and it continued to progress stories. And that's, I like I say all the time, and all the different stuff I do, it sounds like a broken record, but it's the truth. Give me good storylines and give me storylines that make sense and great matches. And I mean, that's just what they continue to do in these kind of situations. the next match we had Atticus Kogar, who has seemingly broken away from 440. He's a guy that I really feel like, I mean, we'll talk about the end of this match, but Kogar is a guy that they've really been positioning for a while as like, he was kind of the underling right-hand man to RSP and 440. He's clearly like, well, I'll get into that once we talk about the match. Jordan Oliver, he's been around for a minute. I mean, he's like a young vet, and he just keeps getting better and better and better. Very big fan of both of these guys. These are two young guys that, like, you know, it's hard to know, like, what the future is going to look like, but it really seems like a lot of these wrestlers are, like, really committed to being in GCW for the long haul. And if you can keep guys like Kogar and Oliver, that's huge, I think, because they can both be so great long-term for the company. The finish of the match, I'll get your thoughts in a second here. The finish of the match was great because, like, it was a clout cutter from the top rope to the outside through a table, and then you rolled him in and pinned him. And what I like about that is a lot of the time, like, you see something like that, and then, like, it's not the finish because, like, at the time it takes, like, roll him into the ring. No, this was just, like, you're not getting up from this. Like, it's this finishing move off the top rope through a table on the outside. You're done. Now, what I wanted to get to while talking about Atticus, though, is that I was surprised by the finish, the result, because I really do feel like they're going to strap the rocket to Atticus. Now, after the match, when they were, it looked like they were going to like kind of end on good terms, and Oliver, you know, they're raising each other's hands. this is what was really telling about this. And I want your full thoughts on this match and the story. This is was very interesting to me. Not unexpected, but interesting. Atticus is clearly the dastardly heel here in this yeah. scenario. Especially he's like when with RSP not there, Atticus I consider to be the number one heel in GCW, unless you count Matt Cardona, I guess, depending on how you look at it. But when he attacked Jordan and got and put the skewers in his forehead, which he does every time you see him, by the way. Like I saw people that were like saw this and thought it was like the most disgusting thing they've ever seen. And I was like, you better get used to it if you watch GCW, because Atticus does this every time you see him. But the fans popped massive for him attacking Jordan. Now, part of that is Jordan has been teasing a heel turn for a little while, but the other part is like it's almost like he's getting to the point where like he's so hated that he's now getting cheered. And I think that that could be really, really interesting. So I know I've kind of talked a lot about this. SP3, what are your thoughts on the match, the finish, and kind of the story here, and your thoughts of seeing kind of all that unfold, like Jordan basically getting booed for beating one of the top heels?
Yeah, it was very interesting how the crowd reacted, especially from like the very beginning during the entrances, everyone flipping off Koger, and then, everyone singing along to Jordan Oliver's theme, which is a great theme. And I love that from that 2019 show, he was one of the guys that I really got into because he was kind of skinny and everything at that time. And he's really bulked up and really gotten into great shape, in my opinion. And, you know, his work in MLW within Justice is really good as well. But this is like without the chains kind of Jordan Oliver, where he doesn't have like a Myron Reed by his side or anybody like that, and he can really stand out on his own, and he really looks like he's a future top star, a future ace for GCW. I thought they worked very well with each other, and I totally agree with you. The finish was great because, you know, he hit the clout cutter in the ring and that wasn't enough, but then it hit it, you know, through the doors on the outside. That was just great. And like you said, not always, that's kind of like a transitional move or like a count out tease in most promotions, but for him to put him back in the ring and get the three count, and the way they shot it was very unique, because they're showing the replay of the spot, and in the small picture, that's when he's getting the three. So that was very cool and unique to it. And I like the aftermath of it, because I was kind of confused by Atticus. I was like, oh, is he turning babyface by shaking hands? And then for him to attack Jordan and then get the cheers that way, that was very interesting. All right, but I kind of took it as the fans want him to be that dastardly heel. That's the person that they are invested in. They don't hate him because, you know, they don't want to see him. He's not getting go away heat. He's getting legitimate heat that he's gotten over time with 44-0. And I just like the whole vibe there in this matchup, and it feels like this is a feud that they're gonna continue moving forward, and I would love to see it.
Yeah. And, you know, I think I've been saying it for a while, but I like that how it's played out. I think that Atticus is actually going to be a bigger baby face long-term than a heel, just because like whenever that like full turn happens, if it does, I mean, really you don't have to change anything about Atticus, similar to like Steve Austin back in the day, but just have him fight heels but don't change anything about him. And I think that, Atticus is the kind of guy that like you get, he has the kind of face and the kind of like expressions to where like you care about him. Like whether you hate him or you love him, like you can feel like the weird kind of like dark energy coming off of him, but like you want him to either succeed or there's something where I feel like people connect to Atticus Kogar. And I think he's going to be huge for the future of GCW as well.
I think I'm going to be huge for the future of this live stream.
Hey. Sean Ross Sapp in the house. This is, man, we were just on here. I feel like we just got off this thing and I woke up and I'm right back on it, because that's pretty much what just happened.
Last night felt special. Like there was an all women's pay-per-view that did really good. There was an awesome boxing fight. I mean, personally for me, Kentucky beating LSU in college football was pretty big, but you had this GCW show. Like GCW to me has been can't miss for a while, but like to people who would go, what is GCW? It would need to be can't miss to them too. When you got Leo Rush and the Briscoes and even Chelsea Green and Thunder Rosa popping up there. It's very clear. I don't know if it was a concentrated effort, but it's very clear that they're like, okay, we're going to eliminate every bit of doubt that we're going to sell out this bigger venue because we're going to drag in some people that are on TV every week as well. I wanted to stop by and put like a little backstage news out there. I was going to put this on Select, but you know what? We impromptu kind of decided to do this show about 12 hours ago. So I want to reward the people that are watching, but
yeah,
we're going to jump around a little bit just because I got a lot of this news, but like some of these decisions were not like last minute decisions. I know Thunder Rosa was like, there were some that I looked at and I was like, oh, because they were in New York for Comic-Con. They just brought them in. That was kind of planned ahead. I actually asked Brett Lauderdale. I was like, what's up? Are you all doing Hammerstein? Are you all doing that? What's the scoop? And he was like, there is none. Or maybe I'm lying. Because he knew I was going to poke around. And I did. And I said, are you excited to carry that ring all the way upstairs? And he said something like, oh, that's only if you run the grand ballroom. And I was like, that sounds like something who has looked into it. It sounds like something you would say if you looked into it. Like, that's the only possible way. I saw a lot of speculation about when Chelsea Green sat down in the crowd because there were people that said, oh, she's been there the whole time. I had people that were sitting right next to her that were like, oh, they switched after the first match. No, it was 2 minutes before Cardona's match. So the fact that they were able to do that and fool the GCW crowd is pretty impressive. I think that's a very smart move because Chelsea is, just like Matt Cardona, the anti-GCW. If you see her post, I took a shit today, she's getting dumped on Twitter. So why not channel that? I once pitched to Matt Cardona that Mojo should help him beat Moxley or Gage. Because he's the anti-GCW, and he's like, I'm not going to share my heat. Apparently that sentiment has changed. But as Joel put, the tinted face mask. Somebody said Tony. Did I say Tony or did I say Brett?
I hope I thought you said Brett.
Okay. Yeah, I thought you said Brett.
Okay. Chelsea low blowed
Effie.
Effie, geez, yeah. For a second. She low blowed Effie so hard that the mask came off.
Yes, it did. That was so good. It was good to see Akira there. He's a guy that I personally know, and he's trained with my trainer a little bit, but it looked like he was getting jumped into GCW. That's just my thing. Cause like Janela had been a little hard on him on Twitter in the past, but seemed in good spirits when I reached out. Somebody had told me that refs checked on Marco during the show. I reached out, Marco's fine. He's good to go, which is also good to hear. Man, this is good news for GCW running the Hammerstein Ballroom. I don't know how I could not go. Like when I'm looking at these two shows and I'm like, which is going to be the show that I need to go to for the sake of work. And I'm looking at the Royal Rumble and GCW and like, I'm going 70% GCW right now. That's unreal. So before I hop off here, what are some of the things that you all think that they'll put on that card?
Ooh, that's a real good question.
You got to do Briscoe's versus SGC. I feel like that was what they were kind of building to because that kind of came right before the announcement. And I would think after Nick Gage's promo at the end of the night, they can do Moxley versus Cage too. And put it inside a steel cage or make some type of stipulation where the violence will be up even more. I think that would be a perfect match as well. And Matt Cardona and Chelsea Green versus Effie and Allie Catch.
Yep, that's a no-brainer. That mixed tag is a no-brainer. The Briscoes coming out was probably the most shocking thing of the night for me because they just don't do that. For example, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that you don't have to do in their deals. Like I every time ROH hits me up, like, oh, who do you want to interview? And I was like, well, I've never interviewed the Briscoes. It's not even a they ain't doing it, anything like that. It's just like they don't have to. So why even bother? But there was maybe, I don't know if it's foreshadowing whatsoever, but they did do a show in Mexico last month, which is the first indie that they've done in good God, I don't know how long, because they did CMLL stuff. I don't think they had done indies since House of Hardcore in 2018. And they did a couple shows that month, and they had severely like scaled back like any outside ROH stuff. So it was well before the pandemic that that happened. Thunder Rosa coming out, my God, like the pop that she gets everywhere.
Yes.
Everywhere. If Chelsea Green gets crapped on every time she tweets, every time Thunder Rosa does anything, it's a predictable reaction. It's going to be this loud, thunderous thing. Like, it's just unreal, man. Just what a fit as well, throwing her right in there in the scramble. Yeah. I do hope that they step up their women's stuff and they have more women's matches. They need that. You can't just rely on Allie Cash, who I adore. I think she's wonderful. But it's good to bring in a Thunder Rosa, and even though Chelsea Green doesn't fit there, that's a good thing to not fit there. It's a really good thing to not fit there. That's how you capitalize on the Jerry Lawler and Jim Cornette and ECW heat and all that stuff. It's somebody who, it's like, it's as simple as a Bianca Belair promo. They don't go there. They're not supposed to be there. And it works really well. And Brett Lauderdale and GCW have gotten really, really good at manipulating that. Also, the video that played for Hammerstein, man, that was getting hyped up to me personally all day, and it delivered. I thought that was a special video. Everybody's the hero of their own story, but you can look at all those people and you can hear every single thing that they said, and you can find somebody on Twitter who probably that night said all that stuff, just trashing them. Some hater on the internet probably said that to or about each one of them before that even happened. I heard that there were people getting legit emotional as this was being produced and as it was shown to them. And that makes me happy to see. I mean, being a regular in any indie is often a labor of love, and it's paying off for a lot of these people. I mean, it's not quite the Duffy Wrestling League on heels or anything that we're watching play out, but I mean, this is an underdog story, and GCW probably shouldn't have worked the way that it has, but it has. And it's one of those things I always tell you guys, what you like, you need to see an AEW show live to understand it. You need to see a GCW show live to understand it. Like, it's very good. But yeah, I wanted to come through, drop a few little notes on you guys, but I'm hoping these things will become a regular thing. If you guys respond well, drop some super chats to the fellas, leave a thumbs up, all that good stuff. It was wonderful seeing you guys. I'm about to go watch the Bengals knock Aaron Rodgers out of Green Bay.
Hell yeah. See you, Sean.
See you, Sean.
Yeah, man, I agree with all that. And I was kind of thinking too, probably Mox Gage too. I'm thinking probably is what they do in Hammerstein for the main event. I want to see AJ Gray in a big match, a big singles match on that one. You know, former GCW champion himself. That's a whole story in itself as well. Him winning the title and losing it on the same night. Like, people still want to see him like with the real title run. They have a real whole like. It's similar to AEW in a lot of ways. Like, they have people lined up and ready. Like, when spots open for certain, you know, titles or stories and stuff, like they have it all set up, ready to go. So hell yeah. When speaking of you know, that stuff, kind of in the timeline of the show that we're at, we were right there at, you know, Brett Lauderdale coming out to the ring. Matt Cardona interrupts him. Of course, we get Cardona versus Effie for the internet championship. And then, as Sean was mentioning, Chelsea Green makes her debut. Now, like Sean was saying, I totally agree. Chelsea Green, very similar to Matt Cardona, does not fit in GCW.
Not at all.
That's perfect. As long as it's not an entire roster of people who don't fit in GCW, if you got a few, that's perfect, because that's the kind of heat that they're trying to draw with that kind of stuff. You know, everyone's already looking forward to Allie Catch and Effie taking on Cardona and Chelsea. Another match that I feel like we're going to get in the pipeline at some point is Matt Cardona and Chelsea Green versus Everett Connors and Charlie Evans. I think that'd be pretty sick, because Everett and Charlie had their big kind of like reuniting on JCW yesterday afternoon. So, and Everett's been doing good things in GCW as well. So I think that him and Charlie in GCW would work really, really well. And if they're going to kind of do these mixed tag type matches, you know, basically the more the merrier, right? Like if you have a bunch of, you know, couples that want, that are really talented and they want to get involved, you know, have matches with other really talented couples, like it could make for some really, really good stuff. So as far as the match itself, what's so funny is, so like the match starts with Cardona hitting what they call the Sack Rider, which I think is the best name for a finisher for a heel Matt Cardona in GCW ever. Obviously, for those of you who don't get it, if you just somehow don't get it, Zack Ryder was the name of the WWE. Sack Rider has multiple meanings. And I thought that was great. The story told between the two was good. And, you know, Cardona winning, but like we mentioned, it was due to Chelsea Green coming in. She, once again, she low blowed Effie so hard that her mask came off. And yeah, how do you feel about this, man? Like, I thought the match was solid. They got the internet title back onto Cardona. Cardona's career was on the line. So like he stays in GCW. And I think it meant a lot too, that he was a part of that video package. Like, it seems like he's there for the long haul. Even saying, you know, like, I think his line in it was something to the effect of, you have all the tools, but you're never going to be a top guy. We wish you the best in your future endeavors.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, that's like cutting deep, dude. Like, that's so real. Like, that's exactly probably what he heard when he was like, yo, like that exact sentence, you know? So like, how do you feel about the match, the finish? And of course, you know, Chelsea Green coming into GCW to be with Matt Cardona.
Matt Cardona is one of the main reasons why I decided to write an article about GCW, because, you know, this is a guy that got released. And like you said, he probably heard that verbatim, what he said in the video package from WWE. And, you know, when he came to AEW, I heard a lot of people like, oh, they're getting all the same WWE guys. He's a WWE guy. They don't need to have him there. He had the short run there and then he was gone. Then he pops up on Impact Wrestling, and it just, like, you know, never felt like Impact kind of went, got behind him in a big way. Like, they kind of wanted to do the Brian Myers feud, but that was kind of the peak, the ceiling for him, it seems, in Impact Wrestling. And then for him to go, you know, start this whole feud with Nick Gage, where most people just think Nick Gage is just, you know, playing around on Twitter, talking trash about Zack Ryder, and then he shows up in the Druid uniform doing the Moxley bit, and, you know, makes that huge debut where it's like Sean said, it's like Jerry the King Lawler showing up in ECW arena. And then the homecoming show, that was like the gathering, like I said, got me reinvested into it. The homecoming was just like, no, this is the hottest thing in independent wrestling, because everybody was talking about Cardona versus Gage, and for him to win and get that win and the scene that it created, that's when you have an independent promotion that is picking up steam, that a lot of people are saying is the hottest promotion, and then it goes viral, it becomes the number one trend on Twitter. That's when GCW was like, put the stamp on it that they're the hottest thing in independent wrestling, and Matt Cardona is really responsible for that. So I've been loving his heel run because it really has revitalized his career, and that's why I think it did mean so much that he was a part of that video package, because he is their top heel. You know, Atticus Cougar, he has all the potential to be it for the next like 5 to 10 years if he's going to stay long term with GCW, but right now nobody gets more heat than Matt Cardona at the Showboat. Matt Cardona, he's going to get a bunch of heat when he's in Hammerstein Ballroom. He's the guy right now that Mick Foley in a match that had nothing to do with it. It was like, I'm going to pop the crowd. I'm going to say F Matt Cardona, because that's how I can get the cheapest pop possible. Not say in Atlantic City, say F Matt Cardona, and these fans will go wild. And they did. That was perfect, because Matt Cardona just generates that type of heat, and I love it right now. And I feel like Effie is a guy that he probably chose himself that he was like, I'm going to make this guy in GCW. Like, Effie is a guy that's very popular. He's a great worker. I love the stuff with him with he's the internet and the champ is queer. That was just great stuff. He's done so much great work with, you know, representation as well, you know, not just for the culture, but Effie's Big Gay Brunch is a lot about that representation as well with the LGBTQ plus community. So I love what he's doing as well. So it's just great what they're doing with this program. And that finish just was like a callback to like what we grew up on, man, like the Monday Night Wars with the Rick Rude type of thing with the mask when ECW and the low blow. And I like how they kind of gave you misdirections where Cardona knocked down the referee. So you would think like Alley Catch is going to get involved, help Effie win. Then Effie gets knocked down. Then it's just like, okay, what's going to happen now? And then the masked person comes in. And I saw the boobs on the masked person. I was like, that's Chelsea Green. That's Chelsea Green. I was like, that's got to be Chelsea Green. And then the reveal at the end. And that's why I said, like, when you know about the Hammerstein Ballroom, you start thinking about what's the matches they got to do. And that mixed tag team match is at the top of the list because, you know, Matt Cardona has all this heat. You got to pay it off. And I think it's a great opportunity for Boosie to kind of get the big win in the Hammerstein Ballroom.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, man. I totally agree everything you're saying. And with Cardona, especially like mentioning how great of a heel he's been with GCW and all this stuff, but he's, you know, but his run in Impact and AEW, the Impact AEW stuff really feels like you're just seeing Zack Ryder in the indies or on other companies outside of the WWE.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you had an extra hour in your day, what is the first thing that you would do? Read a book, take a nap, play some video games, do something for a friend, volunteer. A lot of us spend our lives wishing that we had more time. But the question is, time for what? And if it was unlimited, how would you go about using it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important for you and to make it a priority. And therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Therapy is so valuable. It's gotten me through some tough times, really helped me reflect on things that are important, specifically with BetterHelp. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be the convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. This is so beneficial when you've got that crammed schedule and you can't even imagine finding that extra hour. You can do it all from home. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Fightful today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Fightful. It's so flexible and it can help you find that social sweet spot with BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp.com/Fightful.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
He has a completely different feel in GCW. Like, I wish there was a way, and I'm not saying there isn't a way. I wish they would lean more into it because, like, him and Chelsea are together on Impact, but they're, like, feuding with, like, Hakeem Zayn or, what's his name on Impact?
Raju.
Yes. Yeah. Him and Shira, which I'm a big Raju fan. Like, I think that guy's awesome. But yeah. It's just such a it's just like a night and day difference between like that Matt Cardona and Chelsea Green, and then like what we're seeing from Matt Cardona and GCW, and what I'm assuming we'll see out of Chelsea Green as well. And then there was something else I was going to mention and it's just off the top, just have the tip of my tongue. Oh yeah, about Effie, his part in that promo, the Hammerstein reveal, his line was something along the lines of like, can you just tone it down a bit? It's a little too gay. And I can only imagine how many times a day that guy hears that. Like, I mean, you know what I mean? And he's just, and despite anything he's heard, he just keeps thriving. I mean, that dude, and he's the kind of guy, man, like I've heard in interviews, Effie doesn't even have aspirations of like working for like AEW or WWE or anything at any point. Like he is killing it in his own space right now. And he's killing it on Twitter. He's a guy I got to see live years back, like Basement East, Nashville, Tennessee. And just seeing the growth that this guy and the popularity that he's been able to gain. I mean, so, you know, two thumbs up for Effie and for Cardona. I mean, they built this feud in a short amount of time based off of like a really quick roll up at the last big show. And then, you know, I feel like the whole thing delivered. And I'm looking forward to Cardona and Chelsea taking on Effie and Alley Catch. And we were also, we'll talk about the Briscoes in a second, but they were mentioning on commentary, there's a chance we might get the Briscoes versus SGC today on the Aftermath at 5 p.m. Yeah. So I just want to throw that out there too, because I meant to mention it when we brought that up when Sean was on. So like, they're already like, I mean, for those of you who don't know, I'll free ad. I mean, Fight TV today at 5 p.m. There's another GCW show. So like, if you didn't know that, or like you're like still buzzing from last night, like there was another good GCW show with Minoru Suzuki versus Joe Janela tonight. So like,
yes,
they're just going to keep on rolling. The next match we had after intermission was the Scramble match, which is, I'll throw this out here. So there's a few independent promotions that I think are synonymous with Scramble matches. GCW is definitely one of them. Southern Underground Pro out of Nashville is known for their scrambles as well for very similar reasons. They just go ham in the ring and just do stuff that you just wouldn't expect or shouldn't. You expect it at this point if you've been watching, but like they keep upping the game. Like it's just so innovative, the things that these performers think to do in these scramble matches. And shout out to Doug Bateman, who I do my Tuesday night show with. He's been saying for a minute that he thinks there should be a scramble championship in GCW, which I think is a really, really good idea, because they're able to get a lot of reoccurring talent on the show. And especially a guy like Jimmy Lloyd, who's like so successful in scrambles. Like if he was a scramble champion and he was in like every show, you were guaranteed like 1 6-person match with the scramble title on the line. I think that would actually be a really, really good idea. Cause it ups the ante of like how important the actual scramble match is. Like they're fun to watch, but like, what's the stakes really? Like if you had a championship on the line, I think that would be pretty awesome.
I actually do agree with that. Cause you know, they got the Ultraviolent championship, but that's over in like Japan a lot of times. So they kind of need like that secondary title, and that would be a great one. And it would give stakes to the scramble match, which is always fun. It always delivers, you know, the high spots of the night. But if it had that extra, you know, oomph to it, the extra something, you know, for the stars to go for, I think that would add a lot to it.
Yeah, for sure. And good call, too, with the Ultraviolent Championship. Drew Parker kind of comes and goes from GCW at the moment. And that guy, for my money, the top Ultraviolent Deathmatch guys for me right now are Drew Parker, Alex Colon, Nick Gage. And then on kind of like the IWTV side, like John Wayne Murdoch, I love Akira, who we'll talk about in a second. But the scramble match itself, we had Gringo Loco, who, man, the first time I saw Gringo Loco was at a Glory Pro Wrestling show in St. Louis, probably like 4 or so years ago. And the first time I saw him, I was so confused when he came out. I was like, he's like kind of like not in great shape. He's like this Caucasian guy with the name Gringo Loco, but he's wearing like a full body USA like bodysuit. I didn't understand like what the gimmick was, or, and then he got in the ring and I was like, oh my God, this guy's flying all over the place. This is insane. And I've been a fan since the first time I saw him. So like to see his progression, GCW, MLW, all the cool stuff he's doing, like big Gringo Loco guy. Jimmy Lloyd, a guy who was literally a kid attending shows like this, and he would just be like left at the arenas. Like his parents would just like leave him there. And he just got to know the wrestlers, started like putting the ring together, just literally from the ground up. He's only like 22 or something right now, but he's probably been wrestling for a while. And he's a guy, he was another one of those guys from the video package where it was, his line was like, you know, why don't you start taking this seriously? Because that's what people, when they see him, they're like, this guy's a wrestler, but he can really go in the ring. Like, if the looks are just, him and Gringo Loco both, like, looks are very deceiving based on, like, what they do in the ring. Calvin Tankman, a guy that I have been a big fan of. He's another guy I got to see in Nashville years back. And every time I see Tankman, he's a little bit better than the last time. Like, he is continuing to get better and better. He's the kind of guy who can pick you up over his head and throw you over the top rope or do a front flip over the top rope and hit you. I mean,
yes.
And I love his stuff he does in Paradigm Pro under, like, the UWFI rules and stuff. Like, he's become a very credible kind of striker on top of all the other cool wrestling stuff he does. Braden Lee, Straight Brazy, a great up-and-coming high flyer. A guy that, has been doing a lot of good stuff in GCW lately. I can mimic the same thing for Dante Leon. Both of those guys are they're two of the main futures, I think, of kind of the high flyers of GCW, Dante and Braden Lee. ASF, I know this is a tall comparison. I've compared him in the past to a young Rey Mysterio, a smaller guy who's doing stuff I've never seen before. The way he can bounce off the ropes, hit certain combinations. I think ASF is going to be massive in the world of wrestling, especially if he sticks with GCW. And then, of course, you had the surprise addition of Thunder Rosa, who we all know and love, wrestling superstar, international wrestling superstar. In my opinion, if you narrow it down to just talking about female wrestlers, if that's like specifically what we're talking about, I would say her, Charlotte, and Serena Deeb are probably the three best women in the world right now, if I had to like pick three. And that's and the cool thing with Thunder Rosa is, like, she goes in this match, it's her and, you know, six guys, and she is doing everything everyone else is. Like, there's no like special treatment. It's like she can just go. She is so good and she is so over. Like, so I love every person in this match. Huge fan. The match itself was sick. Give me some of your kind of favorite spots, you know, anything you want to talk about with like the talent itself, and the finish of the match, which was Jimmy Lloyd. He put ASF up on his shoulders like a torture rack, spun around a whole lot down into a pile
on his head.
Looked great. So give me your thoughts, SP3.
Thunder Rosa. Yeah, I totally agree with you. I would go Thunder Rosa, Sasha Banks, and Serena Deeb. Yeah, I would say in the ring, but I would say out of those three, out of the women you named, Thunder Rosa is the total package because she has an identifiable look. She has charisma that really can't be explained. She has the it factor, and then she can just go in the ring. Like, she's one of the best wrestlers. Don't even put a gender on it. She's one of the best wrestlers in the world. And it's crazy for someone like me that I've seen her career from, like, first time I saw her was in Lucha Underground as Cobra Moon. To see where she was there to where she is now, it's so amazing. Better. It's such an evolution of a performer, and she's a person that I've interviewed twice. And honestly, yeah, she's my best women's wrestler, my favorite women's wrestler in the world. I love them shouting out Sean in the commentary, so cool. Saying that that's his favorite as well. So that was a great moment as well for me. But yeah, it was just a fun match, hall full of spots. Thunder Rosa with the corkscrew off the top rope was a great moment. ASF, I didn't get Rey Mysterio vibes. I got really Juventud vibes. But either way, this guy is very, very unique, and he stood out in this matchup.
Similar vibes between Juve and Rey, though. I mean, that's like tall praise either way, for sure.
Yeah, 100%. I love this spot. I think it was Jimmy Lloyd about to give the Styles Clash, and then Leon comes off the top rope with a cutter at the same time. Never seen something like that before. I love Calvin Tankman kind of being the anchor of everything, but still keeping up with the fast movement in the match. And he's a guy I discovered in the Blood Sports event during the Gathering last year. And like you said, like, he's a striker, but he can still mix it up and high fly. So he's so versatile. And I think he has a big future ahead of him, whether it's in MLW or on the independents or a major promotion signing him. Either way, he's going to do great stuff. But really like this match. I totally agree with you. Like, Jimmy Lloyd needs something because, like, he's a guy that deserves to have some type of title. And you could tell that GCW are in love with him. He's one of their mainstays. So I want to see him do more in the future, but he's very young in his career and he's going to get there. He's a guy that you could see being GCW heavyweight champion in the future and holding it for a long time. But this was a fun match, and that's what the scrambles are supposed to give you.
Yeah, for sure, man. This was just great. This was great stuff all the way around. Jimmy Lloyd too. I mean, you know, they have so much faith in him that some of the shows are like he's running. Like they have like Jimmy Lloyd's branded GCW shows. And once again, he's like in his early 20s and he's only going to keep getting better. Similar to a guy like Jordan Oliver, like you were mentioning, sometimes it just takes a little while to grow into your body too. You know, just the facts of the life sometimes. Like Jordan, he gets the knock for being lanky, or at least used to. And now it's like, he's still a little on the thin side, but like he's growing up. I mean, like these guys are going to fill out. Think about what John Moxley looked like in CZW versus what he looks like right now. I mean, it's like two completely different guys. So, and we get to see the real progression. A guy like Nick Wayne, who's like, you know, a literal teenager. Yeah, he's kind of skinny. He's a teenager. We were all skinny when we were, I've definitely gotten a lot bigger since I, you know, became an adult. I mean, it happens. So, this was all really, really good stuff. And like we were saying, I know I was narrowing my kind of list, just for the sake of highlighting the women there, but of course, talents like Thunder Rosa, that regardless of gender, that's like Thunder Rosa is on that list. It's similar to like Amanda Nunes in fighting. Like Amanda Nunes is in the greatest of all time conversation, regardless of gender. Like that's how good she is. She transcends any kind of pigeonhole that you might think, you know what I mean? So the scramble was awesome. And Jimmy Lloyd with the win. And like I was saying, and like SP3's agreeing to, let's get a scramble championship in GCW, Brett. If you hear this, Brett Lauderdale, I think that'd be a good idea. Like I'm usually against the idea of adding more championships and like potentially devaluing titles, but I feel like it would only up the importance of these scrambles, because they do a scramble match on every show. So like you might as well have some extra stakes involved, or even it's something like a almost like a Money in the Bank type thing, where like every time, like a certain point of the year, whoever is the scramble champion gets a GCW, almost like the X Division.
Option C.
Yeah, exactly. So that was all good stuff. Next match we had was the GCW debut of Akira, who I don't know him personally, but I know people that are very close to him. He's associated with KOBK, Killer Be Killed. I'm very close with John Mosley, who is a ring announcer, commentator, a part of KOBK, as well as Brett Eisen. These are Nashville guys that, you know, I knew when I lived there. And Akira is a guy that for years people have been like, man, if he could just get into GCW, like no one really understood why it was taking so long. But he finally got his chance. Like Sean was saying, they pretty much jumped him into GCW. Like that was what I was seeing on the timeline too. It was like, it was just clips of him just getting destroyed. And it was like, welcome to GCW. My whole time, like, welcome. You of course also had in this match, Akira was teaming up with Alex Colon, the former Ultraviolent champion, and G Raver, who is probably the most sadistic person in all of GCW. When like you look at like the grand scheme of things, the guy is a complete psychopath as far as like, and that's what he's meant to be on the show. And they wrestled the Second Gear crew, the combination of the mother effing truth, AJ Gray, Mance Warner, Matthew Justice. So this was great. I mean, one spot in particular that I wanted to highlight real quick was the Doomsday Device chair shot to the dome to the outside. It was like, to see that is always brutal, but it's also one of those things where I almost felt good for Matthew Justice, because he's usually the one getting hit in the head with the chair. So it's like, okay, at least Justice like got to smack someone else, you know, this time. But I thought this was great. I thought Akira looked great. The crowd took to him fast too. Like, he came out and like they knew him, or even if they didn't know him, they probably had heard, like, you know, get hype for this guy. Like, this guy is a deathmatch guy. This is the type of guy we want in GCW. And I thought the match delivered, as the SGC matches always do. They're always a lot of fun. Obviously the walk by Pantera, walkout music, you know, if anybody's going to use that outside of RVD, the SGC is literally the perfect people to do it. Like, these guys are clearly ECW fans. I mean, like, they're, it's more of paying tribute than like stealing something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Before we talk about the match itself, make sure, guys, make sure to send those super chats if you haven't already. We'll make sure to put your questions up on the screen. We'll answer your questions. If you have any statements, thoughts, anything about this show, anything about GCW, the independents, or anything, super chats are very much appreciated. We'll make sure to highlight those. Also, leave a thumbs up and subscribe if you haven't already. But the finish of this match was, it was a little strange because it seemed almost a little out of nowhere. Like, Mance Warner hit the running knee, but it seemed like it was supposed to be Mance and Matthew Justice, like doing like a double team. And I don't think it was timed quite right. But, and that was kind of like the opener where the fans were kind of like, is that supposed to be the finish? Like, I don't think it popped quite how it was supposed to because of that. But the actual match was really, really good. And you had six super over performers in this one. So SP3, your thoughts on this six-man tag?
I like the death match dream team, as I call it, with Akira, G Raver, and Alex Colon. You know, Alex Colon getting the huge pop. But like you said, the GCW universe knew of Akira because he got a good reaction immediately when his music hit. So they even knew his music upon him coming out. SGC, I just love their vibes. I love the Pantera Walk entrance. It's like one of the best entrances. Like I said, the only disappointment is that they didn't give AJ Gray his own entrance so we can hear Waka Waka. Come on. Come on. That was the only thing missing. I wanted AJ Gray to come out on his own. And then, you know, Second Gear Crew, the tag team champions, come out after him. That would have made everything a little bit better for me. But like you said, this match was what you would expect from this match. It was hard hitting, a lot of violence, a lot of doors. You had chairs, you had, you know, the big spot at the end where it looked like they were going to do like a super powerplex with all three members of Second Gear Crew. But Alex Colon taking out AJ Gray on the outside through the doors on the floor. And then the timing of the finish seemed a little bit off, but that was another one where the timing seemed a little bit off, but it kind of played into the realism of it where you didn't think it would be the finish, but it was, because it was like a knockout blow with the running knee. And then, like we talked about earlier, the post-match really stole the story on this one.
Go ahead and get into that. Let's talk about that. The SGC gets on the mic and they're basically saying, like, we want in on the Forbidden Door, send us the best teams in the world, and take it away, SP3.
Oh my God. When I heard Give Me Back My Bullets, as a longtime Ring of Honor fan, like, one of the saddest days was when they went to, I think it was first HDNet. And they changed the music in 2009 of a lot of guys. Like, we didn't get no more Final Countdown. We Nigel had to change his song, which was a really good song. Roderick Strong had to say, "It's a firefight." And the Briscoes had to change Give Me Back My Bullets. Like, that was one of the sad. And I think they actually were able to keep theirs for a lot, or a variation of it. And then they changed it completely when they went to Sinclair. But that's one of the sad days. So to hear that music again, I was just like, nah, it's not the Briscoes. Like, nobody should be using that music outside of the Briscoes. And then Jay Briscoe comes out. Like, I think that the Briscoes are the most underrated tag team of the past decade and a half, because a lot of guys have kind of, you know, I want to say, you know, we call it culture vulturing African-American community. A lot of people have done that with the Briscoes because they started off with the day one stuff, and then the Usos kind of took that years later. Like, their style of matches was really the style of match that the Young Bucks kind of took it to another level. But it all starts with the Briscoes, and I feel like they're a team that just never gets any credit for what they have contributed to tag team wrestling. So to see them in GCW at this time, when GCW is so hot, and GCW has a lot of the vibes where, like Brett Lauderdale said later on in the show, there's never been something like GCW, but it has a couple of elements of different places, whether it's ECW, whether it's CZW, or whether it's Ring of Honor. It's like all three of them combined coming together, and that's why GCW is so unique. So to hear that music, to see the Briscoes out there, and you could tell how excited they were. Like, Jay Briscoe was done with his promo, picks back up the mic, and he's like, I love this. I just love this. Like, he was so hyped and ready to go because he heard that reaction. And for them, you know, that reaction had to feel like give them the goosebumps because they've been dealing with empty arena wrestling. Like, Ring of Honor had a couple of shows in front of fans, but it wasn't the type of Ring of Honor, crowds that the Briscoes kind of came up with. Like, I was going to Ring of Honor shows in 2006. The first time I ever saw the Briscoes, it was the Thems and the Kings of Wrestling in a sold out Grand Ballroom in Hammerstein. So for them to come in at a time for GCW where they're so hot, about to do Hammerstein, I know they talked about it on commentary that it might happen, you know, today on the Atlantic City show. And I'm not saying don't watch that, but I'm just hoping they save that for Hammerstein Ballroom because that's a big time tag team match. And in just them against Second Gear Crew, that's like the perfect tag team for them to verse in GCW.
Especially with like Mance being on the other side, because he has a lot of like vibes similar to the Briscoes, like, yes, kind of like the Southern, all, you know what I'm saying? Like, just rough kind of. I love that. And Matthew Justice, of course, too, he's got a big chip on his shoulder always. Well, I mean, he was in the WWE system like 10 years ago and they just like didn't see anything in him. And he's like completely rebuilt his career. Of the Briscoes, man, we could do an entire podcast on just what this means, because without getting too deep into it, like, this not only is GCW basically like the forbidden door itself at this point, because like anyone can show up from really any company outside of the WWE right now, but this really opens it up, I think, because if we get the Briscoes versus SGC and GCW, like, that means I feel like we could get the Briscoes versus the Young Bucks on AEW now. I mean, yeah, like, I feel like it's open for the Briscoes now. So, like, I mean, this is going to open up so much. And to your point, and I totally agree, the Briscoes are probably the most underrated or underappreciated tag team of the last like two decades, because it's like, if you know, you know, like, if you've been around, you watch it, like from the days you're talking about them versus Hero and Cassidy and stuff and all this stuff, like, but you had to be paying attention to Ring of Honor to really know, or you have to currently be paying attention to Ring of Honor. They haven't really had the opportunity in recent years to like branch out of pretty much just Ring of Honor. And I mean, this is going to be huge, because if it's like gun to my head, if I had to pick like the best independent wrestling tag team ever, like, the Briscoes might be the first name to come out of my mouth. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like, this is really, really huge. And there is a whole just big amount of dream matches that are possible with the Briscoes being available to multiple companies now. So, so I absolutely love it. I'm just like you, man. Like, we see them boys, man. It's like, I mean, it doesn't get any more authentic than seeing those guys. It's funny because, like, everyone's like always so concerned. I shouldn't say everyone, but I think a lot of wrestlers and fans and stuff, they get kind of caught up in like the idea of like creating like a gimmick or something that like is going to get them over, whatever. Like, the Briscoes are actually like chicken farmers from Delaware. Like, they're not like, this isn't a gimmick at all. Yeah, like,
no, they're
super authentic. So. So yeah, I love it. The one thing I'll say, I gotta put it out there, but Jay getting out of the ring, like, he kind of like fell over the top rope, and I was like, oh no, man, no.
He gets up, he flexes.
And he was like laughing about it. Yeah. But yeah, that was good stuff all the way around, man. I'm super happy to see the Briscoe brothers involved with GCW. This is awesome. Cause not just for the SGC. I mean, there's a whole bunch of people that the Briscoes can wrestle in GCW. So
yeah,
awesome stuff. Next match we had, it's funny because this next match was clearly meant to be like the, not like a break by any means, because this was a lot of fun, but it was one of those where it's like you had the big SGC thing with the Briscoes, and then you had the video package that, you know, we're talking about. We've already basically covered the video package, brought tears to our eyes. It was incredible. Hammerstein Ballroom in January for GCW. But then you had Shane Mercer versus Yo-Yo, which was kind of like the bridge between the SGC, the announcement, Briscoes, all that stuff, and then the big Moxley Gage match, We have Shane Mercer, who, so I'll just say this real quick. My brother, I talk about him a lot when I do podcasts because he's 3 years younger than me, but he only watches wrestling when he's around me. Like, he's not a wrestling fan. I wouldn't consider him a wrestling fan, but he knows a lot more than the average person would because he's around me so much and I'm always watching it. And he was watching GCW with me last night. And during the Shane Mercer yo-yo match, my brother turned to me and he was like, Shane Mercer is the best wrestler I've ever seen in my life. And it's not even close. Like, he was like, this is like my new guy for sure. Because I'd shown him, like, he's seen Shane Mercer before. He's seen him do the moonsault and battery and stuff before. But yeah, he hadn't seen him do, like, tombstones literally off the top rope and, like, then carry someone and do, like, a lion salt, you know, into the moonsault and battery and all this. So my brother was, like, marking out. And Yo-Yo, I'm a big fan of, like, especially because I really get behind some of those smaller dudes, like him and Marco and stuff like that, because it's like the talent's there. Like, the talent's 100% there. So the one critique I would have on this match is, like, and this is nothing against anybody, but, like, Yo-Yo kicked out of everything. Like, I feel like if you hit a tombstone off the top rope, like, that should just be it. Like, it's really hard to top something like that. Now, granted, the finish was supposed to be a backflip moonsault off the top rope, but I mean, just complete insanity. So huge shout out to Yo-Yo, huge shout out to Shane Mercer. One thing I can always say about Shane Mercer is, like, when I think I've seen it all, that dude continues to be creative with it and doing stuff that I really never thought would ever be possible for a human to actually to accomplish. So the finish of the match, once again, just to put it out there, it was basically the moonsault and battery, except he did it as, like, a tombstone pile driver,
which tombstone is like, variant of the moonsault and battery.
He was like, I mean, they're just so lucky that nobody gets hurt on these kind of things. Like, when he did that that tombstone off the top, you could see his head, like, on Yo-Yo's, or his hand on, like, Yo-Yo's head, trying to, like, make sure his head didn't hit the ground, because that's just so sketchy. But yeah, I'll say this, like, as long as they're safe and, like, they're healthy coming out of this stuff, like, as a fan, I'm all about seeing stuff like this, because it's so, like, mind-blowing to see people do stuff like this. So SP3, man, this was, like, kind of the co-main event, or kind of the bridge between, like, a few big announcements and the big main event. But what did you think about this Shane Mercer versus Yo-Yo match?
This was, like, a high spot version of a G1 match. You know, the G1 style is just, like, sprint all action, and this was it. And, like you said, like your brother said, like, Shane Mercer is just unique. Like, people kind of had the same type of vibes when they talked about Brian Cage from his, you know, independent wrestling. But, like, Shane Mercer takes what Brian Cage has done on the independent scene and just takes it to the next level. The tossing Yo-Yo into the crowd, the moonsault and battery every time he does it. And like you said, with that tombstone, the craziest part for me was that he tombstoned him on the turnbuckle first before he tombstoned him into the ring. It was just like, do you want to give this guy a concussion, or you just did that by accident? Because that was basically the old El Generico brain buster. That was he basically did that, but the tombstone variant of it, and that moonsault and battery at the end, the tombstone variant, that was just insane. Nothing unlike anything I ever seen before. And Yo-Yo impressed me for everything that he did take, although I feel like he kind of kicked out of too much. He did impress me with his, like, resilience, with his selling. He gave me a little bit of Akira Tozawa vibes, not the Tozawa that's the ninja master on Monday Night Raw, but the Akira Tozawa that before he came to WWE, or even the Akira Tozawa that we saw in the cruiserweight division before. He just gives it that vibes. He has that fire on his comeback. So this was a really strong match, and a match that exceeded my expectations going in.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, man. That those guys are just nuts. They're nuts. A huge shout out to Yo-Yo for, like, allowing Mercer to do this stuff, and shout out to Mercer for protecting him while he was doing it.
Yeah.
And there was a couple points in the match where I thought Yo-Yo was going to win. After he survived some of that stuff, I was like, man, they're going to put him over, because that'd be pretty huge. But But yeah, this was all really good stuff. I think this is now maybe when they actually did the announcement from Brett. I might be getting that. I got that confused with right after the Briscoes, but regardless, we've covered that incredible video package. Before we talk about the main event, y'all, this would be a great time. If you want your thoughts heard or your questions answered, all that good stuff, send us a super chat, put your question statement, all that stuff up on the screen. Make sure to give us a thumbs up. Make sure to subscribe to the channel, all that good stuff. We really appreciate you hanging out here, talking some Game Changer Wrestling with us today. But this is the main event. We had Mick Foley come out to the ring. You could just tell that, and this is not a dig on WWE, but you could tell that Mick Foley hadn't felt like that in a long, long time. Like going out in front of a crowd and getting that kind of response. He was even talking about, he's like, my son Dewey, like, you know, I wish he was here. Because like this is what people, like the younger generation that really only knows Mick Foley as, like, you know, however they see him, whether, you know, the hardcore icon, or they know him from like being thrown off the Cell or later in his career, whatever, like this is the type of version of Mick Foley that I think Mick Foley wants to be remembered for most, is like the kind of the underground hero who eventually broke through and made it in the mainstream, but like he takes so much pride in having the respect of this type of audience. And man, he got this great promo, like we talked earlier. He said F Matt Cardona, which got a huge pop. Bang bang. A lot of great stuff. He was talking about Mikey Ripwreck and ECW, and I mean it was just a great promo, and talking about Terry Funk, and talking about how he used to be called a garbage wrestler and this whole style was garbage wrestling. And like, now it's like, I mean, depending on how you look at it, I mean, you got WWE in their own world. You got AEW right on their tails and in a lot of senses. And then you have, in my opinion, GCW standing above all the other companies right now, including, you know, Impact, MLW, Ring of Honor, New Japan, you name it. I mean, I think GCW, outside of AEW, I think GCW has the most buzz currently. WWE is established, like, but buzz wise AEW and GCW. So, you know, Foley comes out, really puts his stamp of approval of like, I'm the hardcore icon, I'm this legend, blah blah blah. This is where it's at now, though. Like, I'm giving the stamp of approval to Game Changer Wrestling. So, great promo. Did you have any thoughts on the promo itself before we talk about the main event?
Yeah, like you said, it was just tremendous. Foley is still one of the best promos ever, and it's been that case for quite some time. Even when he was lost in Cleveland and WCW, his promos in ECW, the Kane Dewey promos, those are all great stuff. But like, you could still see that he is such a great talker. He kind of showed that in his video where he called out WWE about a month ago now, and then he was great on commentary throughout the match, and he added a level of gravitas to the main event just doing the promo beforehand and being on commentary. It made the main event seem that much bigger.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. I mean, absolute legend. That Mick Foley is the kind of guy where, like, you know, there was like a seesaw, like a balance to his career and his fame. Like, he is the kind of guy, like, you see him and like it looks like he's kind of hard to get around, right? Like, his hips and knees and stuff are shot, and like he's in a bit of a rough physical condition, right? But like, that was the price he needed to pay to like hit the levels of just absolute legend status in the business. I'm not saying it's like right or wrong to put your body on the line in that way. All I'm saying is like, Mick Foley was the kind of guy that like WWE wasn't going to have those kind of plans for him unless he was doing the kind of stuff that got him that kind of notice in the WWE. And then he really gave his body to us as fans. Like, he really did. And because of it, he will live on as a bona fide legend forever. So, and there's a lot of similarities with that in some of these GCW guys. Not all of them are the most athletic. Not all of them are in the best shape. Not all of them are this or that. But like, the ones that are out there putting their bodies on the line or like really innovating, really going next level, like that's what they're doing to become legends in their own rights down the line. So many parallels and similarities between like the old school Mick Foley and what we're getting out of GCW today. And the main event, man, we had the GCW world title death match, champion John Moxley, challenger MDK, All Effing Day, Nick Gage. Of course, the Gage entrance. That's the best entrance in wrestling. I mean, yes. For Whom the Bell Tolls hits. We got Jeremy Lambert. He came in right as we mentioned Nick Gage.
I'm here for the main event pop. That's all I'm here for.
But man, like, you hear that music hit, the fans swarm him. It takes, a while for him to even get to the ring because, like, the fans are literally now. I don't know about you guys. I've been to shows before that Nick Gage has performed on, and like it's exactly what you expect. Like, there were fans going up and hugging him, trying to like kiss him. Like, I mean, just telling him like personal stuff. They'll walk up to him and be like, man, this or that happened to me. Like, I look to you for inspiration. I mean, they are completely sold on Nick Gage being like, that's like, he's their hero. I mean, that's straight up like he's their hero. And then you have John Moxley, who in any other situation would be like the ultra baby face in something like this. But because Nick Gage is so beloved, like, it makes Moxley a pseudo heel in a scenario like this, which is really speaking volumes of how over Nick Gage is. So Jeremy, give us your thought. Since you're joining in, like, what were your thoughts? Did you have anything you wanted to say about the rest of the show? Or do you want to just like jump in on your thoughts on this main event?
Oh, I thought overall the show was very good. But yeah, I'm mainly here for the main event pop. But everyone should watch like the entire show. A lot of cool moments, especially, I mean, the Hammerstein video. I'm sure most people have seen that on social media. But that was tremendous. Just very well done. The Cardona, Effie interaction and match and everything that happened there. Very good. The scramble stuff. Thunder Rosa. Dude, Thunder Rosa rules. I heard you guys talking about her earlier, naming her in your top three and everything. But yeah, Thunder Rosa, she's awesome. And Leo, just so many great moments. Just like overall, what a great show. Main event, when Cage hits him immediately with the light tubes. I was dying. I was like, oh, okay, this is how we're starting this thing.
Exactly. Perfect.
I need to throw this out there before I forget to. Shout out to my boy MLJ, the best in the business of what he does. Yeah. When he high-fived Mick Foley in the ring, I turned to my brother and said, dude, he is probably marking out so hard in his head that he's high-fiving Mick Foley. And then I saw Emil tweet about it afterwards, like that, exactly that. And he's the best in the game when it comes to, like, especially the Nick Gage intro. I mean, the way he fires everyone up, and he does such a good job. But to your point, Jeremy, with you bringing that up, like, that's how it all played out, was like, you get the classic Nick Gage intro. He's halfway through announcing John Moxley and then just whack.
He's like, John, oh.
Yes.
That was so tremendous. And I'm watching this with the EP, and all she could think about is like, poor Renee. Like, she has to watch this. And like, just immediate first thing, light tube, she's like, oh, I hope Renee is just watching Netflix or something right now. Like, please don't subject yourself to this. But yeah, I mean, they started with light tubes and it got crazier from there. I was very worried for Gage a couple of times. The first one was the back body drop to the outside through the glass. Yeah. I thought he messed up his knee on that one. That one looked rough. And then when Moxley just like suplex tossed him onto the barbed wire, like, he landed roughly on his head. Like, that bump looked like it would have sucked if it was just in a ring. Like, but to take that on barbed wire, oh, that looked like it really, really sucked. So I was worried for Gage, but you know, he loves this shit. He kept going.
Dude, like you're saying with Moxley, it's so funny because like, I don't know, obviously, but what probably happened like before the match, like he's probably talking to Renee and she's like, I know you're going to do crazy stuff out there. Just promise me you're not going to do the pizza cutter and the mouth. Yeah. And
No,
don't worry about it. Like, a couple little cuts here and there. Got to give the fans a little bud.
I got a baby now. I'm not going to do that.
He was draining. I mean, he was just pouring.
Immediately, the light tube, and then immediately gushed right from the start.
SP3, give us your thoughts, man.
I love that Gage had the bandana on, so he was like, he didn't get split open on his light tube. But I mean, they just kept upping the level of violence. Like Jeremy said, that backdrop to the outside through the glass and the barbed wire, I thought his knee was messed up. And I love the commentary, like, oh, they're gonna focus on the knee, and Mick Foley's like, no, he just wants bloodlust. He wants blood. This is not about work in any other match. Yeah, you'll be working over the knee, but no, this is about about bloodlust, and it definitely was. Jon Moxley gave his all. He bled for this match, and I love the whole commentary about he has everything to lose, while Nick Gage, this is like the biggest match of his career, so he doesn't want to lose either. It really gave you an investment in both guys, although, you know, like you said, Steven, that Moxley was the pseudo heel. You both could get behind either guy in this one, and I just wanted a great match, and that's exactly what they delivered. And I love the fact that they left one glass there, and the glass had the dove on it. That was like a great they talked about the juxtaposition in that the glass is not just regular glass. It looks like glass that they kind of took off of one of the panels at the Showboat. It was just great stuff there. And then the ending, really, it didn't even feel like that was supposed to be the finish, because Moxley does the paradigm shift off the top ropes through the glass, but he took most of that glass, but it's still Nick Gage landing on his head off the top rope, so he got the win that way. I thought that this was a great match, but it was kind of similar of a death match Omega and Danielson, where it was a great match and it was probably the best match they could have possibly done, but they still left a lot of meat on the bone where they can go back to it. And that's why I say I think Mox versus Gage 2 is going to be the main event in the Hammerstein Ballroom.
Yeah, I completely agree with all of that. Like, they did leave meat on the bone. I think Mox Gage 2 is the biggest match they could possibly do at Hammerstein, makes all the sense in the world. And huge shout out to Jon Moxley, a guy who doesn't need to be doing any of this at this point in his career. But, like, I mean, he's literally the definition of, like, doing something for the love of the game. Like, GCW's, I mean, I know he's getting paid something, but GCW, he probably, like, doesn't even care what he's making, because, like, this is, like, I mean, this is the same guy who claims he didn't even look at the last offer that WWE gave him. Like, he just took the envelope, threw it in the trash can, and was like, you could be offering me millions of dollars a year, I don't care, I'm out of here. Like, I mean, so it is awesome to see. And Jon Moxley, as the GCW champion, I think is very, very smart right now, because with GCW getting all the buzz it has right now, you get like the outside fans who might just be giving it a chance now. And they're like, well, what should I like really be? Like, I don't really know Ninja Mac or Dante Leon or whatever. But then they're like, wait, Jon Moxley is the champion? Like, wait a second. And it's like, wait, you get a totally different. I mean, it's like the same version of Jon Moxley from AEW, but like cranked to like volume 20. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, so I think this is all just super, super smart. The booking of this entire show, the results of the show, outside of, once again, I think Atticus over Jordan Oliver would have been a better move, but that's probably leading to something very similar to AEW and Tony Khan. I can unironically say, let's let it play out. Like, I think there's actually good long-term plans for all of these things in place. So, like, I'm just here enjoying the ride. Like, take me on this GCW ride. We are really, really living in a real kind of renaissance time of professional wrestling right now. This is incredible stuff. You got any additional thoughts on the show or main event, Jeremy?
Main event, like you guys were talking about, it seemed like the finish was a little out of nowhere, but I mean, it's a paradigm shift off the top rope, more or less through glass. Like, that probably should be a finish. Yeah. I know they like to do a lot of crazy stuff and it's not a finish, but Mox's move is, you know, it's more than just, hey, this is a move on the indies. Like, he's got to kind of protect that thing for television and whatnot. So it was a good finish. I like the doves, because like Gage was looked just very out of it. So like that one pain being there, one, it didn't telegraph the finish, because you're like, well, they're going to go through this pane of glass at some point, so clearly he's going to kick out. And with the like doves coming up as like Gage is laying there, it's like, oh man, like this is like the death of this version of Nick Gage. Cause he mentioned in the Jericho interview, he's like, I'm on a losing streak right now. Like, I need to get a victory. You know, after the match, he's like, you know, it's been tough, but you guys keep going and everything. Like, so it was very symbolic, that pane of glass. I thought that was great. Just, I'm not the biggest deathmatch wrestling fan. I will tune in for the big matches, especially Nick Gage. Like, that dude just rules. Man, this was a spectacle in the best sense. And I know they had a lot of new buys and a lot of new fans. I hope it translates well for them. Joseph and I talked about it. Like, they're kind of the ECW, you know, AEW, WWE. You can say what you want about Impact and ROH and all this stuff. Like, GCW is doing something different and alternative to both of those promotions. And like, they got the most buzz of these companies right now. I imagine this is selling more than them Impact pay-per-views on Fight and them ROH shows on Fight.
Like, combined.
Yeah. Like, they got the buzz right now. So just kudos to GCW, man. They're selling events. Like, they're selling fights, right? Like, it's not like, oh, let's do weekly. They're selling big fights.
Like you said, with no TV distribution.
Yeah.
Like, that's the big difference between... Yeah, they really don't. And they're so outlaw that, like, and it just works for them. Like, they just don't care. Like, they don't care what the perception is. They don't care what anyone's saying or doing. Like, they're just out there doing their thing. And if you want to join in, join in. And I suggest that you do if you're a wrestling fan, because it's really, really exciting times. Even if you don't like ultraviolent death matches, watch the other 90% of the show where it's just good in-ring action, and then turn it off for the death match if you're not into it. Like, you're still going to get your money's worth. Really quickly, we had another super chat. Thank you so much, Nerd Guru. Anybody who has any last second super chats, now's the time to do it as we wrap the show up. Nerd Guru says, not GCW related, but I fully expect now that Fury retained, he'll be showing up in Saudi for whatever reason. Thoughts? I hope not, because his WWE run was not good. But I will say, you know, if you want more thoughts on that, we actually talked a little bit about it last night. Me, Doug Bateman, and Sean Ross Sapp during Fury versus Wilder last night. We had a watch along right here on Fightful. In my opinion, the best heavyweight, and I have recency bias, you know, because it just happened, but that might have been the best heavyweight boxing match I've ever seen in my life. Like, that was incredible last night. So thank you to the Nerd Guru for sending that super chat. And if you want more boxing content, check out the watch along from last night. So yeah, this was GCW. Like y'all mentioned, Gage cut that promo at the end, as he always does, just addressing the crowd, you know, making sure everybody. He probably appreciates the fans more than any other wrestler in the world right now, like for the position he's in and the support he has. So huge night for GCW. We have another GCW show, The Aftermath, today at 5 p.m. on Fight TV, FITE Fight TV. Check it out. As we're kind of wrapping up, we got another last second super chat. Speed Punk, thank you very much, says, thanks for talking about the indies. GCW is my favorite company. You are not alone, man. Right now, full disclosure, AEW is my favorite company and GCW isn't far behind it. And those are definitely my two favorites right now that stand above all the others. If you want more GCW coverage and more talk about the indies in general, I do the Fightful Select Weekender podcast on Fightful Select. It's the most direct way to support Fightful. And I normally record those on Sundays. We'll be doing a Monday show tomorrow because we're doing this GCW review today. But I talk GCW. I always give recommended shows to watch on independentwrestling.tv. Use code FIGHTTALK, by the way, FIGHTTALK on independentwrestling.tv. That helps me out when you use that code. So the Weekender, I'll plug the rest of my stuff right before we get out of here. Jeremy Lambert, thank you for gracing us with your presence today, sir.
I'm glad you guys did this. I saw Sean tweet last night, like, maybe we need to do a GCW post show. And, you know, Jensen, you do the Weekender. And so this is right up your alley. And I saw SP3 jump in there. And this morning I wake up and I see this is a show. I was like, yeah, let's go. My guy's right here. And yeah, I was so pumped for the match last night that I was like, I got to make a run in, talk about this. I'm going to get out of here so you guys can finish up.
You want to plug your stuff real quick?
I will. Last comment, Moxley's back after the, my God, ooh, that man's back. That was looking rough. Hopefully he got cleaned up and everything.
And he took the pizza cutter in the mouth. We didn't really have too much, but he took it. Called back.
He did take it. Yeah, I was watching with the EP, and this is like her first like true death match experience and everything. And all she could, besides her Renee, so she's like, none of this is sanitary. Like, she's going through so many first aid courses and everything. She's like, this is not good. None of this is sanitary. They need to do better. You guys know where to find me. In the gym every day, getting shots up. Fightful.com or over there. YouTube.com/likethedistraction, maybe pretty soon. Twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. We're over there. We're everywhere. I'm going to break some news right here on this show. October 23rd. AEW Dynamite, Impact Bound for Glory. Steven Jensen and I will be reviewing that show at like 1 a.m. in the morning. We'll be talking Dynamite. We'll be talking Impact, Bound for Glory. So yeah, latenightgrin.com. You guys can go over there, support what Joseph and the boys are doing over there. Guys, thank you guys again. Really glad you guys got to do this. And I love seeing you guys together. My Mighty Ducks bros over here. My guys.
Exactly.
Guys.
You're out of things.
Love you guys. Thank you guys.
Yeah. Thanks, Jeremy. Bro. See you, buddy. Hell yeah. Good stuff, man. SP3, thank you for joining me today. As always, my Mighty Ducks brethren. For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, there was the best podcast of all time. It was recorded a handful of months ago. Me, SP3, Jeremy Lambert, and Joseph Holbert. I think it was just the four of us. Was anyone else with us?
Yes,
just the four of us. We did a Mighty Ducks Game Changers, like, detailed analysis on the whole series and talked the trilogy as well. So check that out. That's available youtube.com/FightfulScraps. I think it's over there. Yeah. And also on the Twitch channel, twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. SP3, man, tell people where to find you.
You can find me on the Twitter machine at TrueHeelSP3, and I'm about to jump on my YouTube channel, True Heel Heat, for a review of AEW Dynamite and AEW Rampage on AE Ramble number 12. So once the stream is done, jump over there and join me over there.
Yes, join SP3 or join him over here. You can find me, Fightful.com, FightfulSelect.com. For those of you asking in the chat right now, the Weekender is a part of Fightful Select. It's a part of the $5 tier. You get my podcast every week talking independent wrestling. You get Sean Ross Sapp's breaking news. I mean, just all the stuff he does. Jimmy Van, Alice Pulaski, Sour Graps. You get, in my opinion, obviously I'm biased, but for $5 a month, I think you get more than your share of value there. So check it out. Support Fightful. It's the best way to support us. I do a show every Tuesday called Live Rounds with my buddy Doug. We talk mainly AEW, but we also talk mixed martial arts and whatever's going on in the world of wrestling. That's on the RVD Tito for Life channel at 10 p.m. Eastern every Tuesday. Check me out as well on the Fightful Twitch on Thursdays, myself and Joel Pearl. We've been watching a lot of WCW pay-per-views lately on there since we can't watch Impact anymore, but we're going to start gaming again soon. We're going to be playing some Nintendo Switch, I think, this Thursday. So subscribe over there and follow over at twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. Make sure to subscribe right here to youtube.com/Fightful. Give us a thumbs up if you haven't already. Share the video if you'd like to. Thank you very much for joining us and talking some Game Changer wrestling. I love independent wrestling. Skull Vikings. Follow me on Twitter at @FightTalk_. And we'll see you next time. Y'all have a good one.
Peace.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.